You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the cool side of the Arby's sandwich.
Thank I was you. Hoping you'd pick pillow.
Thank you, Jeremiah. I mean, that. Yes, these are both good. It could go either way. One side is a pillow, the other side is an Arby's sandwich.
If you've eaten an Arby's sandwich recently, like halfway through, I get tired, and the Arby's sandwich can become a pillow. That's food that makes me sleepy partway through eating it.
Is a cool Arby's sandwich a desirable thing?
I think they have cold sandwiches.
They do.
Like what?
They have like the
roast
peanut butter?
The roast beef ones. They're not all hot sandwiches.
Peanut butter and Arby's?
Subs, yeah. Kind of.
The roast beef peanut butter sandwich.
But the beef and cheddar is where it's at, because then you get that good, good cheese, and you get that good, good mysterious red sauce that is not the same as the mysterious red sauce labeled Arby's sauce that you can put into a cup. I've tried it. They're different.
Peanut butter and Arby's is still peanut butter and jelly, except that the jelly is all the meat fat from the other sandwiches.
Tyler,
it's just pure gristle and peanut butter.
Tyler, you crime sandwich. And we
still got it.
We're barely into this episode. It hasn't even begun yet. Gordy, what do we do other than ruin the concept of food?
Do we do other things?
Sometimes.
Well, Carmen has a strange fairy tale or piece of folklore that she's going to read to me and Tyler. Tyler and I have never heard this before. We hope some of you have never heard this before, and we're just going to pick it apart as we go. We're going to treat this fairy tale like a modern story, look for the plot holes, and try to critique it, put it back together at the end.
That sounds right.
Where are we doing it?
I forget how this whole thing works. We're going to Ireland.
Okay, I like it there.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. We enjoyed our time.
They have good stories.
They do. We have like 4 to 7 books of them. So, and a lot of suggestions in our inbox, so we're doing that. We're going to be reading Jamie Freel and the Young Lady. This is a Donegal tale written by Miss Letitia McClintock, who lived from 1857 to 1881. So not that long, really. She wrote several fairy tales in there, so she was like a mini Irish Del Noir. And this was suggested to us by Steph C., also known as Steffy Face, and sourced from Sacred Texts. Steffy Face says that this was in a book of children's stories that their grandmother had at her house, and the book smelled old then, which was over 30 years or so ago, and that this version from Sacred Texts is pretty on par with what they remember from that other version.
Well, all right then.
So it was like a little bit of research, almost like I did my job. And we've had some questions about like the backlog on story suggestions, and people worried that theirs will never be read. This suggestion is from July of last year, so like I'm working my way through.
We got like a half of a year behind where we're at.
Yeah, I'm bouncing a little bit to avoid duplicating locations too much, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we have a couple older than that that we've just hit on, like Hans Christian Andersen too recently to do that specifically. So we will get to you. Hold tight. If you're still sending in story suggestions, it might be a while. So I just wanted to calm some nervous folk on that one. We probably have it if you sent it to the email. If you sent it to us in a tweet recently, now go. No
email
dice.
Email would probably be better.
Try the email.
Yeah, this is the only way I can keep this organized at this point. We get 10 suggestions in a week sometimes.
And
so,
archived.
Yeah. And if I don't respond to you, I'm sorry. I just kind of star things that say story suggestion and get to them when I can. So that's how that works. All right. So you two ready to go to Ireland?
Hit it.
Please.
Jamie Freel and the Young Lady. In times gone by, Jamie Freel and his mom lived down in Fennet. Jamie supported his widowed mother by working tirelessly with his strong arms.
Yeah.
Unspecified what work he did.
Suns out, guns out.
Just strong arm work.
Just like
outside?
Probably. Maybe punching. Punch for hire.
Punches. Be embezzling. Could. With his big arms.
Could take some contracts from Big Big Rock.
You could hide a lot of money in a big beefy arm.
I mean, somebody has to move the big rock.
Gordy, boat watch real quick. We forgot.
Oh, boat watch. Gut instinct, yes.
Strong arms.
Do you have
those arms are begging to be on a boat.
Is that word association for you?
I mean, I can just picture those strong arms rowing.
Just windmill motions into the water. No, both arms, no paddles. Oars,
yeah. No paddles, just scooping water.
Just scooping mad water. Do you have a thing that's related to Big Rock? Thing? Do you do something up front with Big Rocks
Not
now?
Not up front. I'm okay. Just saying, if somebody needed a big rock somewhere else, strong arms will do it.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, he would pour his wages from punches or big rock moving into his mother's lap.
What if he just crochets, but strong?
Like crochets metal.
Steel cables together.
I made this blanket for your farm.
Like, it's extremely delicate and powerful work.
I want to know if that's a thing.
Steel crocheting?
It's going to be crochet metal. Wire crochet is definitely a thing. So yeah, he could do that. Delicate and strong. And then after he'd pour all his money into her lap, he would thank her profusely for the halfpence she gave him back in return as taxes for his cigarettes to support that habit.
Oh,
it's all he needs to survive.
Yeah,
his strong arms and cigarettes.
That's what makes him so strong.
Is this a slightly off-brand Popeye? Strong arms and smoke cigarettes instead of a pipe?
Yes.
I could see it.
Feeling good about boat watch.
Getting closer and closer.
If that's the case, we got a borderline sailor man.
His neighbors believed him to be the best son ever. except for some neighbors he was unaware of, neighbors living very close to him.
Neighbors who had weak, spindly arms.
Neighbors unseen and rarely seen.
Neighbors unseen means not neighbors.
And rarely
that
seen.
Means spies.
I think neighbors
or mice.
Neighbors unseen might mean some fairies
or
in this
mice
case.
Spies.
Mice spies.
Rarely seen by mortals, except on May Eves and Halloweens.
Gilliman. Unseen skeleton.
Yeah, that's what May is known for. May flowers and skeletons in the evening.
April showers bring May skeleton.
Yeah, it fertilizes the ground.
Grow
makes
right
their
up.
Bones stronger.
I mean, we live right outside a graveyard. We've seen this.
There are old skeletons out, like, less than 50 yards away.
less than a wind distance away.
Who would be more jealous of a beefy-ass arm than a skeleton?
Who just has, by its nature, weak, bony arms.
Frail arms.
None beef, all bone.
This is the worst Arby's slogan.
That's the Arby's arch nemesis.
His bone sandwich?
Yes.
No beef, all bones, dogs only. I guess, and even then, they're probably not happy about no beef.
That's why the Arby's has to take them down in the heroic standoff.
Arby's, an unofficial sponsor of this podcast.
They've been wrangled into it whether they want to be or not. About a quarter mile from Jamie Strongarm's Friel's cabin was an old ruined castle rumored to be the home of the Wiggy folk.
Why don't you check?
This rumor is supported by the fact that every Halloween the ancient windows lit up and passersby saw little figures flitting around the building and heard music playing from it. Seems like pretty good evidence.
Seems to corroborate, yes.
Of the what?
The wee folk.
Yeah.
Halloween, the castle, old ruins. The windows would light up. People would be dancing in there. And there was weird punk rock music.
Mm-hmm.
This was known to be fairy revels, but everyone was too afraid to intrude and confirm the evidence.
Fairy revels.
I mean, they
rebels.
Might have like a bone.
Revels. Revels.
Oh.
With a V. There are probably some rebels.
I like
there.
Fairy rebels
it,
better
it is
if
punk
we could
rock
make
music.
That change.
They might have like a bone horse in there.
Oh,
I
boy.
Mean, the bone horse has been known to hang out with the fairies sometimes.
Or a baby with a wand.
Those are things we've encountered before.
Those are known fairy friends. Jamie had often watched them in the windows and wondered what the castle was like on the inside. Just sitting on his porch, smoking his Saturday cigarettes.
Smoking his lunch.
He's got 11 herbs and spices in that cigarette, and that's sustenance, I guess.
Now, this is a really Halloween-heavy story, and I had thought about maybe saving it for Halloween, but the problem is it's definitely not spook lore and more like The Hangover.
Okay.
So we're doing it now. So.
It's Janueen.
Yeah, Janueen. So one Halloween, he got up, and he took on his cap, and he said to his mother that he was heading to the castle to seek his fortune.
I'm gonna go fuck that place up.
I'm sure there's rupees in there. Hit all the pots.
I'm using my strong arms to get treasure. Be back later.
I mean, he doesn't know what's in there, though.
He knows that there's lights and cool-ass music.
I mean, this could be a dry run.
He wants to be a part of a rave.
I mean, if the wee folk are in there, it's gold.
But it will disappear in the morning.
Is that right? Like, is that... He's not guaranteed anything out of this.
No.
It's adventure.
You just, like, you find fortune in mysterious castles. We have learned that. Like,
I guess...
Haunted castles equals gold. Or a wife. Or a kingdom.
People who say they want to find their fortune never...
a pond full of dead animals.
People who say they want to find their fortune never mention how long they want to keep it. It could just be till morning.
That's true. You just like, you get that good thrill.
He's satisfied.
You could find a fortune and have to leave it there because you can't transport it.
It's
you
basically,
could find a fortune and go to jail because you broke and entered.
It's true, yeah.
Fairy fortunes are like myth times Vegas.
The house always wins sooner or later.
Yeah.
Betting it all on haunted castle.
His mom says, you're my only son, and I kind of, like, rely on that Saturday lap pile of money. they're probably gonna kill you, because fairies.
Yeah.
So what do you think I'm gonna do? Don't be so venturesome and foolish, in the dialect. And, Jamie says, nah, mom, I'll be good. I got beefy bones.
Have you seen these arms? Have you felt these arms?
Gots to know what's in that castle.
Take a whiff of my arms. They are strong.
Strong and smoky.
Get a load of the axe I put on this armpits. It's axe body spray. I am 15.
So he crossed his potato field and gets to the castle, pausing in the grove briefly to listen to the laughter and the singing, and I suppose proceeds from there. Unlike Delnoir, who describes everything in excruciating detail, Letitia here just kind of skips over.
Right to the point.
Some crucial details, and he teleports into the castle.
What's crucial about that? He goes in.
Numbers of little people, with the largest of them about the size of a 5-year-old, were dancing to music, while others drank and feasted. And when they all saw him come into the castle, they cried out, "Welcome, Jamie Freel! Welcome, welcome, Jamie!"
They've been expecting him.
Well, it keeps sending him invitations, and he keeps rolling tobacco in them and smoking them. Time flew by, because I guess they were having fun. Jamie enjoyed himself a lot when the host interrupted the revels to say, "We're going to ride to Dublin tonight to steal a young lady. You wanna come?"
Hell yeah.
Oh. Are they taking drugs?
Yeah, none of them are actually fairies. It is just a rave.
This is how you get in with a bad crowd. First it's raving, then it's drugs, then it's kidnapping.
Police officer at my school did say if I took enough weed, I would want to kidnap.
He did?
No.
No, that was the dare dog, Gordy. Police officer.
The dare lion.
That's right. It was a lion.
That's not like out of the realm of possibility.
Maybe the dare
things.
Lion said that jazz cigarettes was a gateway to human trafficking.
What if the dare lion was the dare dog and it just pulled a Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion transformation to stay cooler with the kids?
They are the yin and the yang of the dank herb.
All right, so...
The Snoop Dogg and the Dare Lion.
So probably fairy drunk off his ass, he's like, "Yeah, I want to come steal a lady. That sounds awesome."
Never stolen a lady before.
Cries the rash youth, thirsting for adventure. I guess this is before you could, like, egg and TP places on Halloween.
Mostly kidnapping.
And also there wasn't trick-or-treating or costumes, so really, you're just left with kidnapping. Or TV, you had to hunt men. We've established this.
Before candy, you had to put women in bags.
So a troop of horses stood at the door. Jamie mounted one, and his steed rose with him into the air. So sky horses...
It usually does that, right?
Yeah, I think sky horses are just maybe a fairy breed of horses. So our four-winged horse from the last real story we read is maybe not the sky horse that kidnapped the king. Might just be one of these hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
He flies over his mother's cottage. I can see my house from here.
Does he dump on it?
The horse does.
He just dumps on the house?
I mean, it's a horse. It's gonna dump. Why not there?
They're not... What's the word? Discriminate? They don't care where they poop.
They don't.
No. Must be freeing.
Especially if they're flying.
Yeah, horses and wizards. They both get to poop where they want.
Wizards and most animals get to just poop where they want.
I have a question for the both of you, and I'm surprised I haven't asked it yet.
Probably also surprised.
I think about it every time this phenomenon comes up with a flying horse. In your mind's eye, what does it look like when a horse flies?
I'm thinking like the reindeer animation where they're just like...
Where they are galloping in the air?
Yeah.
Not me.
Are you thinking horse legs flapping like wings?
Nope.
I would guess like legs tucked up beneath it, wings flapping.
The image I have in my head is a horse like stock still as if a figurine and just hovering in the air.
So like the reindeer animation at the beginning of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I mean, it's a horse model in a video game that has no animation applied to it.
That would be fun. What if the horse was a rocket horse and it did what Gordy said where it tucks its legs under, but these don't have wings. It's just shooting from its butt some good propelling flames.
It's a good look.
And it could also do that stiff-legged, the horse T-pose.
Yeah.
These are all valid methods of horse flying.
Like a kid who has a horse action figure, but the horse's legs don't move.
Right.
So the kid is just waving it around in the air.
And no wings.
No wings.
So if you
no
just,
flapping.
Yeah, if you just made an animation by just kind of dragging it around the screen.
Yes.
Tyler, get on it. Gordy, make a game.
Okay. I'll make Flappy Horse. Exactly the same as Flappy Bird, but a wingless, motionless horse.
They fly on over mountains and hills, over towns and cottages where people were burning nuts and eating apples, as you do for Halloween.
Do you burn? I guess you roast chestnuts. That's you not do. Burning them.
No, I don't know. Maybe that's the trick. The apples, the treats, and the...
I don't
the,
think you burn nuts.
The fire roasted nuts are the trick.
Are they doing it just for the smell?
And for the fire bit? Maybe. Not clear.
Pretty wild what is and is not actually a nut.
I could have looked this up for science, like a real podcaster who does research. Mm-hmm. If you want that, go listen to Lore.
Look, if we should do this if we want to get on the list of best science podcasts next year.
What is not a nut?
Peanuts.
Cashews.
But not, it says nut.
Not a nut. It's a legume. Cashews, I think, also not actually a nut.
Yeah,
why don't we call
legume.
Them pigumes?
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 Pigumes.
Oh, peanuts. Okay.
I don't know. Pig-umes. See, maybe we need a better classification system for nut-like things.
Yeah, all of them are just called nut.
Is it crunchy and does it come from a plant? Nut.
Seeds?
Nuts.
Those are nuts. Okay.
Bark? Nuts.
Yeah, you're right. Acorns.
Pine cones. Nuts.
Pine cones, very much a nut.
There are pine nuts that you get from pine cones.
Yeah, but the whole cone's probably crunchy too.
Yeah, it's like when you eat the honeycomb.
Pine needles. Nuts.
Those are not crunchy.
Sure they are.
No, they're chewy.
When you bite it, when you step on a bunch of them.
When they're dry.
I could accept the argument that they crunch.
Can they become a nut then?
If you weave a bunch of pine needles together, it becomes a nut.
Surely it's crunchy when you eat it only.
Yeah,
because otherwise all kinds of things are nuts, like broken glass.
Well, is a bone sandwich a nut?
No.
No, because it doesn't come from a plant, Tyler. You're missing that. It's got to be crunchy, come from a plant, and not require human intervention to make it crunchy.
Isn't a human just an animal plant, if you think about it?
No.
I suppose that and the reverse are true.
Do you suppose that, Gordy? Really,
I mean,
think about it. Because if you really think about it, that stays just as much bullshit as if you don't think about it at all.
No, I mean, why not? Humans are just, what did you say? Plants that are animals?
Animals that are plants.
Animals that are plants. And trees are just plants that are animals.
If you give it enough water and sunlight, it grows hair.
This is why we didn't make Best Science Podcast.
Maybe this is why we should make Best Science Pod. We already invented, discovered the Wimbus. We gotta say discover instead of invent. And then it sounds better.
Sounds more Christopher Columbus scientific. I should have chosen a better explorer than Christopher Columbus, who was a raging asshole.
Yeah, he and also
and not good at exploring.
Also found the wrong dang continent.
But I mean, we also have found the wrong dang sky piece, so maybe it is the most apt metaphor for us.
Yeah, but we didn't do genocide.
No, we didn't. I think if we want Best Science Podcast, we gotta blow the dust off some of those old grant proposals and start showing TV to sheep.
Yeah, I don't know what you have to do to get on that list. I feel like we've done enough, and yet nobody has called.
Can I make this Halloween more exciting and crime?
The story Halloween?
Yeah.
The nut burning one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Houses are nuts.
Okay.
They come from plants and they're crunchy when you eat them.
They got a hard exterior and like soft under bits with nutrients inside.
And they're burning houses and eating apples.
What is happening in this story?
They're flying on horses watching people burn nuts.
Houses. Oh, right.
Parentheses houses.
So as the fairies flew over a cathedral tower, they all shout, "This is Derry!" And then a bunch of tiny voices chant, "Derry! Derry! Derry!"
How is Derry spelled?
D-E-R-R-Y.
So the location. Yeah, the location. Okay, not the food stuff.
And they do this for every freaking town they pass over, and I'm sure that doesn't get obnoxious as hell immediately. So these fairies are drunk off their ass going on a bender through Ireland.
They're drunk off their ass, but still good at geography.
Yeah. Just like
couldn't do that sober.
Just sticking their heads out the top of their Skyhorse limo and just shouting at things as they go past.
You mean you can like drive through the outer reaches of Atlanta shouting, "Roswell, Roswell, Roswell."
I mean, if I was in a plane
and
I took off and I looked down, I wouldn't know where I was.
What if it was like a low flying plane and the plane was a horse?
I'm talking about like liftoff. Like I look down and I'm like, that could be Atlanta. It could be New York City. I don't know.
Wheels off the ground. I have completely lost.
I don't know how fast this thing moves. Am I home already?
So you need to be in constant contact with the earth to have any idea where you are.
Exactly.
And that's why travel sucks for you. It's just like this whole period of disorientation where you have lost your connection with Mother Earth.
And Wimbus.
And the Wimbus.
Anything?
Which have both cradled you since birth.
If you're confused, possible new listener, about what a Wimbus is, just go back a couple.
I mean, the last one is a named episode.
Yeah.
So finally they chant, "Dublin, Dublin, Dublin." So he knows they're there. And they drop by one of the finest houses in Stephen's Green. The troop dismounts near a window, and Jamie sees through the window a beautiful face on a pillow in a splendid bed. Sees her lifted and carried away. Sees them drop a stick in her place and watches the stick take her exact form. Good old fairy magic. We're early on the Bird War timeline here. They're just like dumping magic sticks in beds.
They're doing it for whatever reason.
So the lady is placed before one rider, and they ride for a bit. Clear she is awake for any of this. And then she's switched to a different rider. Did they stop or did they punt her midair?
I think they're just playing catch.
From horse to horse.
Yeah, some horse. Sky rugby.
And then they start shouting the town names again, so she needs to be in an enchanted sleep, or she'd probably just jump off a horse to get this over with. I was like, oh, whoops, I slipped. Bye. Let me know how the town thing goes. So they get near his place, and he calls out to the fairy folk. Hey, you've all had a turn to carry this hot lady. Let me have a go.
Her in my beefy arms.
And they say pleasantly, sure, Jamie, take your turn at carrying her. And they chuck her his way. And he holds his prize very tightly because it is early Halloween, so you do put a woman in a sack instead of candy.
I do envision him as a normal-sized man with giant, veiny arms.
Just like Doomfist hands.
Yes. You just turn up the slider on arm size.
Yes.
In your character creator.
Yeah.
I realized recently what Doomfist reminds me of, and it's a fiddler crab. Which really makes him a lot less intimidating or scary looking. Because we used to hang those things from our ears.
Fiddler crabs?
Yeah.
They like that?
No, they didn't. But there were like a billion of them, and it was better to hang them from our ears and step on them, which we also had to do. So he holds his prize very tightly and then drops his horse down near his mother's door, and the wee folk shout after him, "Jamie Freel! Jamie Freel! Is this the way you treat us?" And they too drop down near the door. Jamie held the woman fast, though he knew not what he was holding all the time, for the little folk turning the lady into all sorts of strange shapes, which I'm sure is like really great for her. So in a way, this is spook lore, but it's only spook lore for a perspective that we don't get to hear from.
That we're not going to engage with.
Right, because no one cares. So at one moment, she was a black dog barking and trying to bite him and everyone, I'm sure. I would just stay the dog at that point. Like,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the next moment, she was...
I would hold out for dragon.
She was a glowing bar of iron without heat. So they were trying to trick him into thinking it was a real bar of iron glowing from heat. And then she was a sack of wool.
Fun night for her.
I don't know... I don't know why the sack of, unless he had a wool allergy that they knew about, why that would be in the strats to try and get him to drop this lady.
Wool is women's work. Big strong arms can't touch it without coming women's arms. As we know.
You're right.
You, thank you for mansplaining that.
He would immediately start making a sweater.
It's just knitting and rocking.
Yes. Instead of going on adventures for jewels.
And punching for money. didn't let go, regardless of how much wool she turned into. So the baffled elves turned away. Tiny woman, the smallest of all of them, shouts at him, Jamie Freel has her away from us, but he shall have no good of her. Have no good of her. For I'll make her deaf and dumb.
Why are you only making this her problem?
Right? Like, why can't this? Are his bee farms made of steel?
She's already kidnapped.
And unable to be enchanted?
To answer your question, yes. He is a cyborg.
Cyborg, yes.
Yes.
Everything is cyberpunk.
I hope so. When are we getting all those movies?
And then she threw something over the young girl, who's just sitting there like, fuck did I do? So the fairies ride off, disappointed that their lady didn't stay there. She was probably their taxes for the year.
Yeah.
So they're going to be
Halloween taxes.
Yeah, they're going to get penalties. And Jamie lifts the latch and goes into his house. And his mom's like, you've been gone all night. What have they done on you? And I like that phrasing, done on you. It's a good, good phrase. And he's like, nothing bad, Mom. I had a lot of good luck. Also, here's a beautiful lady I brought you. She's yours now to keep you company.
Now I have two moms.
Can I keep her? I'll feed her and I'll water her. His mom says, bless us and save us. And then she's too astonished for a bit to say anything else. So Jamie fills
just
in.
Stares at each other.
Well, Jamie fills in the gap, yammering about his fairy rave and his fairy kidnapping. And then his fairy stealing what they'd kidnapped.
Sky horse drifting.
And he says, Mom, you wouldn't want me to have let her get lost forever to the fairy folk, would you? And his mom's like, she's a lady, and we're a poor. You didn't think this through. How are we going to keep her? We can't feed her.
A lady's is a responsibility.
To keep?
Yes. Yeah.
As pet?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean...
All mom knows is she's not walking her, and she's not cleaning up after her. You want a lady, you take care of it.
They only eat chocolate coins.
Probably just Pepto-Bismol.
Gold cow milk.
For all the chocolate coins.
They drink Sutter Home.
They drink what?
Sutter Home.
What is that?
Sad mom wine.
Oh. Well, is she a sad mom?
Oh, that's right. She's a lady.
Is that her brand?
She drinks Nine Crimes.
Okay.
I don't know wine.
You got your Pinots, your Grigios, your...
Sauvignon Blancs.
Whites and reds, and sometimes you mix them together.
For a rosé.
Zinfandels, New Zealand ones, good ones, bad ones.
You get some from California.
Basically all the kinds.
Sake.
Yes, sake, the wine.
It's rice wine.
I think if I asked for a glass of wine and someone brought me sake, I would...
I mean, you can find it in the wine section.
Can you? But that's clearly not what you meant, right? Like, if you say, like, hey, get me a glass of wine, someone comes back with sake. It's like, yes, you are technically correct, which is the best kind of correct, but you should know that's not what I want.
You probably shouldn't just say, give me a glass of wine, considering all of the wine varieties that the two of us just listed off the top of the dome being non-drinkers of much of anything, much less wine.
Yeah, but I...
Look, Gordy, you're going to drink your sake and you're going to pretend like you like it.
Look, if I get into the zone where I'm like, I do want wine, then I want some kind of wine.
Can you just put it all together?
Mix it in a jug?
Yes.
That's called jug wine.
That's called moonshine, I think.
No, it's called moon wine.
Moon wine.
Moonshine's the hard liquors.
The classier moonshine.
Moon wine's what the ladies drink.
It's bathtub brewed wine. The bathtub that's out on your front porch.
Clawfoot. Wine tub. New goop trend. All right. So Jamie says, well, it's still probably better here than in a fairy castle. Life.
Oh.
Not lady.
Okay. It's checking.
Which belies the dreams of many a young lady. I believe.
Better here with us poors than with those fairies in that castle.
And that all the time rave.
Surrounded by magic.
Meanwhile, the now deaf and dumb girl been stolen away from her good rich life and turned into a bag of wool and then dumped on these poor people. I was just shivering from the cold and stepping closer to the humble turf fire. And the mother's like, poor creature. She's so pretty. It's so cold. No wonder the fairies wanted to steal her. We better get clothes for her
because
somehow.
She's pretty and cold?
Well, just the pretty.
Okay. The cold wasn't a factor.
So the mom gets out her Sunday best dress, and she also gets out a long snowy garment of fine linen cap. This is her dress.
Yeah.
It is exactly how it sounds.
Yeah.
Previously only brought out to air, but otherwise just hanging in her closet.
Getting ready.
Waiting for her to kick it. So that she can wear her fanciest dress. She bought a dress a while ago. I was like, I'm probably going to die soon.
I'll be needing this.
So she was willing to give even the dead dress to this trembling visitor so that she'd feel more like a lady. And the visitor's just turning in dumb sorrow between the mom and Jamie. She's like, what am I doing here? So Jamie promises to work to keep the lady. I'll do a newspaper route. I'll do whatever it takes, Mom.
Whatever my strong arms can handle.
Just don't take her back to the pound. And the lady was very sad for a long time, often crying in the evening while the old woman spun and he worked on salmon nets, which was a new skill he learned to bring in more money for the lady.
Is she sad because she's being treated like property?
Probably. And she lost her voice, and she was also briefly a sack of wool, and that's something your body probably doesn't forget.
She didn't like being a dog.
I mean, being a dog would be fun. She's already being treated like one. She might as well get the perks. But she slowly adapted to a new life of feeding pigs and mashing potatoes and knitting socks.
That's way better than magic.
I guess she got, like, bored and was like, well, I guess I better put food at a pig. Nothing else to do. No video games. No fairy LSD at this fairy rave that I was going to. So Halloween comes around again, and he says, all right, Mom, I'm gonna go back to the castle. Didn't work out last time. And again, to seek my fortune.
I'm going to go get her a sister.
His mom's like, are you crazy? They're defo going to kill you after you stole their lady. And he's like, whatever.
Worth it.
And he goes onward.
YOLO.
All right.
He creeps under a window and listens in on the fair folk conversation, which of course is one of these. Exactly
they're
what
they're definitely planning to kill him that day.
They're talking about, well, that was a poor trick Jamie Friel played us this night last year when he stole that nice young lady from us, says random fairy number 3.
We're still paying back taxes.
I said the tiny woman. And I punished him for it, for she sits a dumb image by his hearth. That'll show him, a woman that doesn't talk. But he does not know that 3 drops out of the glass in my hand right now, the one that I have in this very hand, these three drops, would get her hearing and speeches back again. This glass right here.
Now I'm going to put this down and take a nap. Nobody move.
Nobody touch anything.
So Jamie bursts into the hall. And with his heart beating fast, and all of the fairies are like, hey, welcome! It's our buddy Jamie! Yo,
welcome back, party boy! We were just talking about you.
some mad keggers last time. So the tiny woman offers him to drink to their health out of her glass.
No, what? That's a weird move.
Is it like a psychopath move where it's like, I'm so clever, you'll never catch me?
Offer. I mean, you say no because it's not.
Or a leprechaun's idiot.
Super sanitary. Like if a stranger says like, hey, you can drink out of my glass. You don't say, I think you said just say no.
I think because you're at a fairy rave, you suspect that been roofied somehow.
Yeah. What did I do? The last time I had part of a toast was New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
And we all had champagne. And in the middle of the toast, I poured it into a nearby glass because I decided I didn't want it. I didn't want to throw it out. So it went into just
somebody else's problem.
Here, you get the New Year's cheer. I want none of it.
But nobody asked me to drink out of their glass.
So Jamie snatches her glass and then darts to the door and books it straight to the cabin.
Hey, wait. It's mine.
Aw. And then he collapses by the stove out of breath. His mom says, you're killed surely this time, my poor boy. And he says, nope, I had even better luck this time. And he tips the 3 drops of liquid that had survived his mad race in the...
Definitely didn't spill.
Spilled a lot of it in the potato fields, but not those 3 drops. Exactly. Just tips those in the lady's mouth. Says he gives them to her, but she's deaf and he has not bothered to learn any kind of sign language in the past year. So I like to think that as when administering medicine to your dog, he just like tips it into her mouth and then like strokes her throat a little bit. Like,
he punches her in the gut first to make her open her mouth.
It's not what you do with a dog. Pinch them by the jaw.
No, you punch it over and over in the gut.
You're not babysitting Cricket anymore.
And then you pour liquid in it.
So she begins to speak, and her first words are words of thanks. That seems like fiction.
Are we sure that the last three drops were the only magic drops? Or are there sentient Tatos outside now?
I was thinking maybe he spilled it kind of on his wiener, so it looked like he peed himself. And maybe sort of a funny way. But then I don't know what the effects of...
like a cool new sidekick.
Yeah, I don't know what the effects of that would be, but it's gonna make sexy times very awkward.
So maybe instead of her first words being words of thanks, his peeper just like pops in and interrupts her with a thanks,
Me
Jake.
Too.
I feel alive.
I feel alive and very Irish.
That's the way the Irish talk.
Can't you tell?
I heard them.
Gordy Murphy of Irish descent and Tyler Crowley also of Irish descent.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes, I'm a penis.
I'll take the high road.
And not give voice to this sentient dick.
Oh, I was just thinking like an erection.
Oh.
So the opposite of me, I took the low road. I, Carmen, took the low road and let the penis take the high road. And I'll be in Scotland for you. Okay, so the three of them talk around the fire all night because they have an entire year's worth of conversation to get out. And I'm sure she has a lot of opinions. The next morning, the girl asked Jamie to give her paper and pen and ink because no one thought to give her these things when she was deaf and dumb, but not stupid, could still, like, communicate, to write to her father. And so he procures this. She does so. Weeks pass without an answer. She keeps writing. Still nothing comes. So after...
He died 300 years ago.
So after, like, a year's wages in postal stamps, she says, "Hey, Jamie, let's go to Dublin.
I would like to check on some things.
I got some unfinished business." So Jamie says, "Well, I'm too poor for old Myth Times Uber. And it's a really long walk.
I know some friends with a magic flying horse, though."
But she keeps insisting, so he's like, "All right, well, you know, I guess I won't punch things for money for a month." So they start to walk to Dublin. It's a long and probably boring journey that we don't get to hear about, but they finally make it to the house in Stephen's Green. Yeah, Aquintock is like the opposite of Dalnoa.
This shit's not important. Don't worry, they don't die on the way.
No one eats them. No mysterious...
No crimes are committed.
So they get to the house in Stephen's Green, and she tells the servant who answers the door to tell her father that her daughter's here. Servant says, no, daughter died a year ago. She says, well, can I see him? And eventually the father gets to the door, and he's mad at her for pretending to be his daughter because he has no recognition of who she is. And she shows him the ring that has both of their names engraved on it. And he's like, yeah, that's her ring. Don't know how you
Why
got
you
it.
Grave robbing?
Probably crimes. You're really pissing me off right now. Like, we have now been harassed by like 4 or 5 letters from our daughter that we miss dearly. And now you're at our door.
This was not part of the magic.
What, like, fully convinced? Well, they turned a stick into a daughter.
They think that the stick was daughter and that she was dead because it was a stick.
So the stick took on the effect of the daughter, and I think...
Except being alive.
So, like, tradition of fairies, they usually trade out. So, like, a baby will be traded with a fairy folk. So when you get a kid who acts differently, that was thought to be a changeling.
Right.
And I guess with an adult lady...
It's just a plank of wood.
Like, since their tallest fairy was 5 years old, they're like, well, this stick will do. But the stick can't, like, pretend to be the lady, so it just mysteriously dies, and maybe this was how they explained, like, times the random deaths that happen when you're young and...
Oh, that's just a leprechaun stick.
So...
She's out at the farm with all the other ladies who were kidnapped on Halloween.
So the girl is crying bitterly and she has to see her mother, and he's like, no, she's just starting to get over it. She's recently stopped talking about her daughter constantly. I'm not gonna like resurface this tragedy for her. you weird con artist.
Please leave.
But he eventually gives in, and the mother also doesn't recognize her. And so the lady, who does not get a name, so dog lady, points out a mole mm-hmm. on her neck, and the old lady says, yeah, my daughter definitely had one of those, but also I saw it in a coffin. So...
Very adamant about this.
And Jamie decides it's time for him to speak his ass up about what happened.
And, Leprechauns.
And he explains about the journey and the stick and the drops and... then she steps in with words of praise for him and his mom and how she would not have escaped fairies or made it for the past year.
They taught me potatoes.
I learned to pigs.
Father, they taught me potatoes. I had never tatoed before.
But now I am tato master and pig keeper. So I guess this is enough for them to believe that, it was a stick.
Oh, we buried a stick.
Whoopsie.
Whoopso.
This is a very dog-heavy...
Oops-a-doops-a.
...family without any dogs involved.
Yeah.
So they're super happy at Jamie, and then when he expressed his wish to return to his home in Fannet, they're like, well, what do we do to show our gratitude for bringing our dead stick daughter back to real daughter life? And then there's an awkward complication involved, which is that real daughter wants to go with him because he'd saved her and worked for her, and that was really nice. Developed a super secret crush on him as Beefo arms.
What was the point of coming back here?
See your dad. That say, hey, why are you not answering my letters? And her dad said, well, okay, if that's the case, then I guess he's my son-in-law now. I'm not gonna ask him. Not really gonna ask you either. So they ship his mom over to the house, and they have themselves a wedding. And then they all lived together in the fancy Dublin house. And then Jamie got rich when his wife's dad kicked the bucket. The end.
Okay. Story.
I mean, it said it nicer than that, but the ending is she loses her dad and her husband gets loaded.
Like, her husband who did help kidnap her.
Yeah, because he wanted adventure.
To start off discussion, how we looking Big Rock-wise?
I've been thinking about that. How does Big Rock solve this one?
I think this is not as straightforward.
Certainly not.
What have you come up with? Talked up Big Rock a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did claim last time that Big Rock could solve every story.
I mean, I don't want to always go to the simple solution, which is to put the bad people under a Big Rock.
I mean...
Which you could do with a leprechaun.
You're saying just smash the leprechaun, the fairies, whatever?
Yeah.
Sure.
The wee folk.
With a Big Rock.
Yeah.
Always an option.
You draw a big X on the ground and you tell him to start digging because there's a lady down there.
Digging for buried lady.
There's a buried lady worth kidnapping.
You take
mom's...
And
then you hoist a big rock above them.
You take mom's makeup, you make a pretty lady face on a big rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you trick the fairies who are already drunk off their ass into stealing this rock instead of a lady.
Kidnap the big rock.
Busy.
It's a deflection.
Because it's big.
That would take all of them to lift.
You take
all
a nice...
the wee people and all of their horses.
Yeah, you just kind of glue a dress on the front of it.
I was going to say, you tie...
And
like,
then they try to give that to hell for taxes, and then they're all smoked.
Fraud.
I was going to say, you just attach the lady, like, give her, like, a bit of lead so she can move around, but, like, you basically anchor her
mm-hmm.
with the big rock, and then they can't. Also, the rope is unbreakable.
What if you put a big rock in front
just,
of her
just
window?
Make
a,
that's
just
very
make
the important.
Rope, the rope iron, and then they can't touch her.
An iron rope. Some call it a chain. I call it an iron rope.
Look, a chain involves links. The rope is woven.
Okay. I'm not trying to imprison this woman. I'm trying to make it so they can't kidnap her. But I could see why they're maybe the same in this scenario.
That would be a great montage, though, of Jamie and his very big, strong arms weaving an iron rope.
Crocheting an iron rope.
To secure this lady to a big rock.
Yeah.
Can't be moved. Who created the big rock? Is it God and can he move it?
That is the question that a lot of people before have asked.
Yeah.
Can Doug move the rock?
Can Doug make a rock so big even he can't move it?
Can we make a rock so big that we can't solve it?
Yeah, yes. 1,000% we can do that and probably have done
so. A rock big enough that it cannot be solved with a big rock.
The only person who can move the greatest rock is Cherry Man, and that's just because he skeeves it out and it rolls away. All right, so Big Rock
How are you feeling about boats?
Yeah, you false boat watched this one.
Well, I didn't false anything. I took a genuine guess. It was just wrong.
You got a false boat read off this.
I did get a false.
I felt good about boats.
Boat reading. Could you argue that the horse is kind of a skyboat? Do they live in a houseboat, but it just says house?
And it is not in water.
For shorthand, it's a grounded houseboat.
It is an earth houseboat.
I have good news for you, Gordy.
Yes.
Since we discovered the Wimbus.
Yeah.
Now there can be Wimbus boats.
I don't mean to
tread the top of the Wimbus.
Look, if you're going in that direction, then every bird is a boat.
Yeah.
I don't mean to impugn this mode of transportation, but it seems restrictive. Cannot go onto the ground, nor can it go very high. So it is still, it's still in the...
A different boat.
It's still at a height where it is impeded by trees and like other tall things.
But not traffic.
Giraffes, people dunking.
just a hazardous landscape in the wind.
But it can't go over
Man,
those.
Man, I hate getting caught in rush hour dunks.
I mean, don't stop driving around at dunk o'clock in your Wimbus boat.
I think we broke our podcast.
Irrevocably.
Who's good at dunking now? All my references are old.
I don't know.
Magic Johnson's not in the game anymore, I don't think.
Depends on the game.
Yeah, he's in the TGI Fridays game still, I think.
All right, so no horses in the air are not boats, because boats are not just vehicles that don't travel on land. You know, go ahead and rule that out before we break this world irrevocably.
Maybe there was one in the distance. They probably flew over a boat.
It's Ireland. There's water.
Yeah.
All around it.
They flew over a
they
boat at some
point. They flew
over
most of Ireland.
The inside bits.
Yeah, but they would have seen a boat from the sky.
There's an implied boat.
It's not full points because it is not a part of the story whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a
it's
spectrum.
It's just present.
This is lower on the boat spectrum.
You get a quarter of half a point.
Okay, what is that? An eighth? It's an eighth. I'll take an eighth of a point. It's better than a zero.
I was going to give you a quarter point, and as I said, I was like, that's too much for pretending that a boat was maybe seen by these horse flying fairies.
It was. What do we need to do?
At night.
To this story so that we can stop.
Well, we gotta fix it.
What's broken, though? Isn't it fine? What if they didn't kidnap women?
That would be a good place
like
to
what,
start,
like,
probably.
What if they came down to kidnap this girl, but and she just beat the living hell out of all of them?
And Jamie was a more successful turncoat.
He turned on the fairies.
I mean, he does in the story. He just does it poorly, and she becomes a dog for a bit.
Yeah, instead of that happening, can he not just, like, she fights back, and he's like, oh, that's actually pretty kick-ass.
How about when they try to kidnap her, puts them all in a sack?
Why can't she do it?
I mean, she could help.
She can...
She didn't have the element of surprise like Jamie would.
Okay.
I would... I mean, you could still have the fairies be the bad people kidnapping. And you could have Jamie suck, too, a little bit. But Jamie needs to learn the error of his ways. She needs to want nothing to fucking do with him. Because I don't think the moral of the story should be, well, if you steal a lady, just work hard to make sure she's fed, and eventually she'll marry you, and you'll get rich when her dad dies.
No, that seems like the wrong message.
It's kind of a Stardew Valley approach to a coming and womaned.
Yeah.
Just hand her potatoes until she is yours.
You like these, right? So many potatoes. Would you like a daffodil?
I have so many potato points with this deaf and dumb woman in my home.
I will buy her a bouquet and our matrimony will be secure. So yeah, if you're gonna keep, like, because without the fairy kidnapping, he goes to a rave and then goes home hungover.
Yeah.
So you keep that part. She is definitely put under a fairy glamour, because they do kind of gloss over kidnapping her and the horse chucking.
Yeah. They toss her like a football.
Yeah, and they're treating her as not very good. So Jamie needs to have, like, a sobering up moment in this point where he's like, woman is not a football. I should probably fix this thing I have participated in my drug-fueled rave.
I set out for fortune, and this is what I've become.
Greed gets you nowhere. So Jamie needs to have, like, a moment. This woman needs to have a name. And, like, she gets the deaf and dumbness, but the story should be mostly from her perspective at this point. Like, it should be focused on her, like, trying to make her escape from this place, trying to learn how to live with it, and then...
A name, you say?
Yeah. So she's not just Lady.
Gorbo.
Perfect. Beautiful.
Dramatic name for a dramatic story.
So Jamie works for Gormo, and Jamie learns how to empathize with another human being. This does not reward Jamie with another human being. Like, he learns to, like, do what's best for her and not for him, and helps her
get... And then goes and takes care of his mom some more.
Yeah, helps her get home, and then goes to his home.
He homeward bounds her.
Yeah.
And then he leaves her alone, which is very important.
And she marries the nice lad she'd fallen in love with before fairies kidnapped her.
Yeah, whose name is Jamie, but backwards.
MJ.
His name is Jaime.
MJ.
Jaime?
Yeah.
What else?
I think it's perfect.
She does have to be a badass through most of this, and, like, really sarcastic, and an excellent actress who can work without words.
A mime is what you're asking for.
A mime would be good.
Yeah, like, it'd be a good casting decision.
Like that famous lady mime.
Gormo.
Who is the famous mime boy?
What?
The famous, famous.
Marceau?
Yeah, what's the lady one of that?
Gorbo.
Michelle.
Gorbo the Irish.
Gorby Gorbo. the Irish mime. Oh boy, that's a one-woman show.
Well, we're working on breaking this again.
Quickly wrap a bow on the big rock and okay. Call it a day.
Okay, that seems good.
Give her a name, give her agency, give her sass, and don't give Jamie a woman.
Because he will not treat her well.
But he does get a dog. Like, at the end of this, he gets to go home with a really nice border collie, and he learns how to do shepherding, and he never has to punch a man for money again.
There you go.
He only punches for pleasure.
He only punches potatoes now.
And he has to learn new skills as he is learning, because he does in the story, he learns how to make salmon nets to help keep the lady. So he learns new skills and betters himself, and that's the reward he gets for helping a lady. He doesn't get her dead dad's fortune. He just becomes a better, more complete human who no longer goes to LSD-fueled fairy raves.
The end.
The end.
The end. So thank you to Steffi Face for suggesting this story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We really appreciate it.
And thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
And all your great Discord conversations.
Thank you to everybody who has been tweeting about the show. I think it's Rachel Goose. Or Razal Goose. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but thank you. Thank you, Aster Smythe. Thank you to everybody who answered the poll about Scorpion Witch and Woodpecker Fairy. You did.
Who won?
You did get it wrong. I might put this up again because I just think it's worth doing until you get it right.
Who won, Gordy?
Woodpecker Fairy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You sit your ass down.
But, I mean, polling errors happen all the time. We'll just do it a couple hundred times.
What was the percentage, Gordy?
Who can remember?
Gordy.
I'm sure pretty slight. But thank you to everybody.
I'm logging on at Twitter.
Thank you to everybody who responded.
Who voted for Animal Katamari? who's in my tent?
Oh, see, we'll have to do another one with all three.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one would probably pull four. Knowing our listeners.
But thank you to everybody who tweets. If you like this, please share it with somebody. Share your favorite episode. Or you can tweet about us.
60% to 40%, Gordy. You can't.
Who can remember if that's even true? Please tweet about us. Please share us. Give us a rating or a review on the iTunes or whatever you listen on.
Yep.
Next business.
I believe you have a list of names.
Yeah, Gordy.
Children.
We got to work on our organization of this thank you thing.
Well, I gotta pull one up.
I know my bit.
And then the other bit.
I say thanks to, like, the wind is what I do.
I have some bad news, which is that it logged me out of Patreon.
Shit.
I say thank you to concepts. That's what I bring.
Because Tyler Crowley thanks no man.
You're just the ideas guy. Everyone's favorite.
No gods, no kings, only Wimbus.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Merzi, In Before the Long Name Ban. Sure. The Day Dude, Pyrus, Monkey King, Tally, Liz, Grace, Ambassador of Bus, May the Wheels Never Cease, MC Atnip. It says Droops now. I'm just going to read Droops now because that's what it says.
Okay.
Jeremiah, Roast Rabbit, but backwards. Haley, Tim, times, like, I don't know, 20, maybe. It's 20 Tims in a row. Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Yonder. Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus. Wimbus.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Yonder
Toad.
Yonder Toad.
Anybody in this one worth thanking?
thank you to that talking dick, I guess.
Thanks, talking dick.
Thank you, talking dick.
Except for this one.
Thank you, bag of wool.
Thank you, bag of wool.
Thank you, fairy punk rock.
Thank you, fairy punk rock. Thank you, big, big rock.
Thank you, big, big rock. Thank you, all punk rock.
Thank you, long, distant, inconsequential boat.
Thank you, inconsequential, long distance boat.
We're with the folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.